Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy to say it is Inspirational Truth time once again, and I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior, and I want Him to be yours. He can be yours. He came to be yours. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." And friend, if you're lost, you may start the day lost, but glory to God because of what Christ did at Calvary, what He's doing now at the throne above, you too can be saved. Well, Debbie and I are happy to be here. Todd's right when he said we pray that this message, this program will be a blessing to you. That is our desire. We seek to bring glory to God as we work to bring men to Christ and then build Christ in men. That is our calling. We've got a good program lined up for you today. God's given me a special message. I think it's special. It's special anyway, and I'm excited about it. And I'm happy that God has allowed me to share it with you. And if you like to open your Bible to the Book of Acts, chapter 26, I'll be reading verses 1 and 2, and I'll take my thought out of verse 2, and then do my best to share the message with you God has laid on my heart. Now, it's a message that will probably demand more time than I've got today, so I'm praying even as I speak that if it's the Lord's will, I'll do part of it this week, part of it next week, but that's up to Him. But nonetheless, you enjoy this song that Debbie's going to do. The title of it is Think of a Land. Think of a Land. I'll be back at the end of the song to share the message God has laid on your heart, on my heart for your heart. You pray for me, I'm praying for you. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you. I don't know about you all, but every now and then, friend, my thinking's not real good. And I need to think of another place, another time, of another land. And that's what this message is going to be about. Appreciate that song. Appreciate the place that she's singing about. And I appreciate the fact that you and I can go there, friend. And before we get there, though, here's a thought that I like. We can get so much heaven in our heart at times. We could feel like and we could act like we're even almost there, although we're still on the footstool of God. As I told you, I've opened my Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 26, and I'm going to read two verses of Scripture to you out of that chapter, verses 1 and 2, and I'll take my thought out of verse 2. Would you pray for me? I am praying for you. The Bible said, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." And then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Now, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to pay particular attention to that opening phrase of verse 2 where Paul said, I think myself happy. Now, let me set the circumstances for you if I can. Paul was here before Agrippa, let me say this, because of a sovereign divine plan that God had for Paul's life. That's the foundation of it. That's what God said, Ananias, you be sure to tell Paul that he's going to stand before kings and before princes. And here we see evidence that God knew what he was talking about. But the event that brought Paul here, he had gone to Jerusalem, he had been captured, he had been falsely accused, he had been brought down to Caesarea Maritime, he had already stood before Felix and Agrippa, somebody else, I can't remember who it was, and now Paul had been bound over, held over for Agrippa, Caesar, or for Agrippa, and he was trying Paul on the same reason that he had been bound for. Now listen, Paul was excited about this opportunity. His circumstances were not the best, but he was in the will of God. Now listen, do you ever go to the altar and just cry and weep and say, my, why has God forsaken me? Listen, God has not forsaken us. God is still sovereign. God is still on the throne. And you know what? Instead of forsaking us, He might be building His Son in us and through us in this set of circumstances that we find ourselves in. Let me ask you before I go any further. How many of y'all believe God is God? Say amen. How many of y'all believe that God, the God that we serve, the one true God, not the God of Islam, not the God of any other religion, but the God of Christianity, the God of Judaism, the one true God, the great I am that I am. How many of y'all believe that He is sovereign? Say I am. Or say that I do. Say amen. How many of you believe, friend, that nothing comes before us unless it goes before Him? And if you have any questions about that, read the book of Job. If you agree with that, say amen. Well, how many of you believe that God has all power in heaven and earth to do all things? Say amen. How many of y'all believe, though, that God gives mankind the ability to choose some things, whether they be good for us or bad for us? Say amen. Well, that's exactly what I thought. I thought that you and I thought alike. We held the same beliefs, same understanding. Well, look at this. Paul was in a very not good position. The circumstances were bad. He had been a prisoner. He wasn't loose, running up and down Asia Minor, spreading the gospel. He wasn't planting churches at this time. He was still doing the work of God. He was still in the will of God. He at this time was waiting upon God to do something other than what He'd already done. But while he was there, do you know what he was doing? He was thinking himself happy. Now you think about that. I want to talk to you a little while today. Maybe this is not the best text for this message, but I can't get over it. It is this: getting to another place. Getting to another place. Now, if somebody is looking at this message and they'd come across it, say, on the website, they might pass over it and they'd never understand that it's a message about our thinking and how impactful our thinking is on our life, on our mind, on our health, on our strength. I'm going to give you a verse of Scripture that I'll get to in a little bit later. Again and again, I may mention it's Proverbs 23:7. Proverbs 23:7, the Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We, I believe, can either think ourselves happy or we can think ourselves totally unhappy. If somebody agrees with that, would you mind saying amen to that? The power of thought is amazing. The power of thought is amazing. And you know what? God has given us that ability to think. God has given us that ability to think right thoughts. He's even given us the ability to think wrong thoughts. And a lot of that, the choice or the deciding factor between right thoughts and wrong thoughts is a matter of personal choice, my choice and your choice. Now, Paul could have said, look, I think myself a victim. Paul could have said, I think myself unworthy to be here. I could think myself a victim of circumstances. Paul could have said many things, those things and many other things. But Paul said, hey, I think myself happy. Now, I don't know who you are. I know what it is to think stinking thoughts. I know what it is to have stinking thinking. Let me put it that way. I even thought about entitling the text as Stinking Thinking. I know what it is, friend. I know what it is to think myself into a state of depression and desperation. I know what it is, friend, to think what I ought not be thinking, to where it affects my mood, my mind, my will, my desire, my hope, my health. It affects all of those things. But I'm going to tell you what. I also know what it is to think myself happy. I know what it is to make a choice and say, I'm not going to think on this thing, but I'm going to think on that thing. Now look, when I get to that place, I'm not denying the reality of an event. I'm not denying the reality of a set of circumstances. But I am choosing, friend, to think of that circumstance in a different way than maybe what I had already done. Let me say something. I want to give you a piece of my philosophy, and it's biblical philosophy, by the way. It's bound and built upon biblical principles and truth. I know that you and I face many events in our life. I mean, some things we'd rather not face. Bad news from a doctor. Bad news from our children. Phone call in the middle of the night. Many circumstances that maybe I could never, if I would guess 100 more, guess yours. But you get the picture. You understand. We get news that we didn't want. We get news that was unexpected. We find that somebody died. We never thought about them dying. They died out of some family chronological order. They died in a tragic way. They died traumatically. I mean, who knows? Maybe there's prison for somebody, for somebody's child. Who knows? There is a multitude of things. And listen to what I'm going to say. The event is not the only thing there is to it. It is an important thing. It is a causal thing. It is a major factor. But hear the Word of God. Hear the Spirit of God. Listen, friend, it's not what happens that matters as much as what I think about happens. You say, preacher, are you wanting to be like a Christian scientist and deny that the water is cold when the water is cold? No, I'm not that stupid. And I don't apologize for saying that. That's a very strong word. I don't think none of us ought to ever deny the event. I don't think any of us ought to ever deny a situation. I don't think any of us ought to ever deny ourselves the privilege and the opportunity of thinking about something. But here's what I do think we ought to deny ourselves. I think we ought to deny ourselves thinking about something in the wrong way. I think we ought to be honest. I think we ought to be realistic. I think we ought to see the circumstance as it is. I believe we ought to carry it to God. I believe we ought to see what the Word of God says. I believe we ought to live by faith from that time. But listen, friend, in order to get from one place to another place, we've got to do some things ourselves. Look, we need to realize, and I'm not talking about minimizing the situation. That's not at all what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about, listen, I don't care what event that it is. We might have to grip it when we don't want to. We might have to chew it and swallow it, even if we don't want to. But I'll tell you what, listen, friend, what happens is important. I know it's important. It's extremely important. But what we think about what happened is more important than what happens. I'm telling you, I believe that's biblical. Now look, we don't need to, I'm not suggesting we minimize any event. I'm not suggesting that there's not an iota of thought or intent about us minimizing any event. Do you hear me? But I'll tell you what, listen, you know what we can do? We can take an event. We can take an event, any event, and through our thinking about it, through our replaying it in our mind again and again and again and again, we can create scenario after scenario. We can create outcome after outcome that we want in our mind. And you know what we'll do? We'll even make an event that's not traumatic, a traumatic, traumatizing event. We can. We're not to minimize it, but listen, we're not to traumatize it either. And if you've ever been guilty of that, I've got to say I have. And I hang my head in shame saying that I have. Now listen. Listen, I want you to understand something. I know that there are certain things that happen in life. I know that there are certain life-threatening situations that people could get in where maybe in war they took a life or their life was close to being taken. Where maybe in domestic society and even in war, friend, I realize that somebody is violated to the extreme manner to where they felt like that their life was going to be taken. Look, I understand that people can be traumatized and then they want to kick that bad thinking out of their mind, and yet it keeps coming back like a stuck record, like an old 45 record. You know, when it gets really scratched up, that needle will just go over that same place again and again and again. But listen, you know what I learned about a 45 record and record player? You go bump that thing or jump up on the floor and shake it and it'll move on. You know what? There's, by the grace of God, an ability for us all to get from one place to another. I heard a preacher, a great preacher, I think, that he has preached one night using this text. He said, get over it and get going. Now, I know that sounds oversimplified, and that is extremely simplified, but if you'd have heard his message and how he preached it and what he said and the biblical help, the spiritual light that he gave on that, friend, listen, there's nothing in the Word of God. Let me say it again. There's nothing in the Word of God that by the grace of God, we that know God as our Savior, we that know Christ as our Savior and God as our Father, there is nothing we that have the Holy Spirit resident in our heart that we cannot be overcomers of. We're overcomers by our birth. We're overcomers by this book that I have before me. We're overcomers by the blood. And listen, we've got to do a little work. Now, a lot of us are lazy. We get tired. I mean, we get to a certain event, man, it'll drain us emotionally. It'll drain us physically. You know what we'll do? We'll just cave. We'll become a victim. And I've already told you that initially when an event comes, it's all right. It's all right to feel every emotion you feel. We ought to. Matter of fact, there's something wrong if you don't feel certain things at certain times. It's all right if we feel whatever we feel. They're just an emotion. They're just an emotion. But what? Listen, when it starts going wrong, it's when that event passes. And we begin to replay that thing time and time again. And it'll affect our thinking. It'll affect our behaving. It'll affect our wanting. And then we become victim of it. We become captive of it instead of bringing it into the captivity of Christ. Now, I'm going to turn my Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And there's so much in this. I know now that I'm going at least next week with this, and I don't know, maybe another week, probably not. But the Bible tells us some things. He said in the book of 2 Corinthians 10, the Bible said in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Now listen, you're weak and so am I. You can't, neither can I. But bless God, if we're saved, we're not in this thing alone. Paul said in the book of Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. But he goes on to say, nevertheless, I live, and I live by the Son of God who loved me enough to die for me and live within me. He said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, the enemy is a liar. Everybody that understands the devil is a liar, say amen. In the beginning, in the garden, when we are introduced to him, we find in Genesis that he said to Eve, hath God said? You see, he sowed the seed of doubt, sowed the seed of despair, sowed the seed of depression, sowed the seed of doom, actually, if I may say it that way. But listen, our God is able to do exceedingly above. Our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Our God is able. There's nothing impossible with him. Now listen, he's got a work to do. God does, and he'll do his work, but we have got a work to do, and we must do ours. The devil's going to put doubt. The devil's going to lie. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4. But the weapons of warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5. casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Now listen, when you get in a place to where you have stinking thinking, where you can't get to another place, you've got to start at the right place before you can get to the other place. And the right place is the Word of God. We've got to get the knowledge of God within us to be able to do anything. And it's not just getting it in. We've got to let it live out. You remember what Paul said to the church of Philippi, chapter 2, it's verse 12 or 13. He said, work out your own salvation. Paul said, something's been worked in you. Now you work it out two ways. You work it out in your life and you work it out to the end like you would a puzzle or a problem in algebra. You work it out to its completion. And that's what Paul was saying. And that's what he's saying here. We listen through the power of God, through the knowledge of God, can cast down every imagination that comes against us. And by that, we can bring it into captivity, every thought into the obedience of Christ. Not the obedience of T.K. Price. Not the obedience to you, but to the obedience of God Almighty. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2. And I'm going to have to get ready to close. I'm going to have to wind this down today and figure out how I'll pick it back up next week. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Listen to what this great passage of Scripture says and listen to how it's written. This is one of the greatest theological passages of Scripture in the entire Word of God. I'm going in and just pulling a little bit out of it to use in this message. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now he's talking about the mind of Christ in a particular manner. But I believe though it's a specific use here, I believe there is a general application here in this message. He said, let us. Now look, I'm going to tell you something. You've got a choice in this. You've got the power to choose. Are you going to let us, are you going to let yourself have the mind of Christ? And you say, how do I get the mind of Christ? Well, I'm holding it in my hand. I'm holding the 1611 King James Version of the Bible. And friend, I believe I read the mind of God every day. The Bible says in verse 2 of chapter 12 of the book of Romans, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that perfect, acceptable will of God. Paul said, Philippians 2, 5, let this mind be in you. You've got to make a choice, and we're going to carry this on a little bit later when I talk about putting on and putting off. It's a choice. Look, you or I can become a victim of anybody, anything at any time. We can be victimized without a doubt, without any choice of our own. We can become a victim. We're a victim of Adam and Eve's sin. We're a victim of many, many situations. We're a victim of many, many situations. But listen, we don't have to remain the victim. We don't have to remain a victim. We don't have to think and take on the mindset that I can do nothing, that I have no power, that I have no choice, that I must live the rest of my life at this place. This same preacher that I think highly of, I won't call his name and again permission to use this, but he said one night after he's come back from church, had his family in the car, and it was in a kind of a remote situation. He said he and his wife and children were just having a good time. They had the radio on. Everybody was just happy until one of his children tapped him on the daughter and on the shoulder and said, Daddy, we're lost. He said, you know what? He said it was all fun and games. It was all happy and good until we realized that we're lost. Now listen, friend, I'm going to give this to you today. And I'll pick it back up next week, the good Lord willing. You can get to another place, but the first thing you got to do is realize you're in the wrong place. You can get to the next place, to another place, but the second thing you have to do is want to. And the third thing you have to do if you want to get to another place is to work on it like you want it, because it's not just automatic. Listen, God has made us more than conquerors. We are not victims. We are, by the grace of God, victors. We might be here today, but by the grace of God, we can be somewhere else tomorrow. And that's what God intends for us to do. You say, where do I start, preacher? Start being honest. Start being honest with yourself. Start being honest with God. Get in His Word. Let His Word get in you. And then let His Word get out of you by living like you believe what you read. Now, Father, You know the need. You know who this is going to and why. And Lord, I'm made to believe that we all need a message like this on occasion. I think that all of us have the tendency, because of our carnal nature, our fallen nature, to think wrong thoughts. To get in a bad place, the wrong place, because of thoughts. Oh, we're all victim. We've all victimized. But Father, You've brought us deliverance. You've let us loose. We're no longer captives, except it be the captive of Your love, being come captive of Your love. So I pray that You'd deliver, that You'd bless, that You'd get in the seat, men and women, boys and girls, this day for Your honor and for Your glory. Well, thanks for tuning in. I pray the message has been a blessing. And I pray that today You'll decide that you're going to get to another place. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.